But I can imagine that, you know, people start to drift away around this time.
I'm still here. I won't leave you. Forehand, cross-court, hammered into the forehand that's redirected and just misses the side edge of the sideline, so much so the line is going to be checked.
Not like Joshua, who sent a message in earlier saying...
He's really affected you too, Marcus, hasn't he?
I was fine. Marcus was very needy. Never break up with Marcus because you're going to get a lot of messages. This became very clear. Joshua, he said, I think we should message Joshua. I said... I don't think so. Have some self-respect. He's gone. Let him go.
Yeah, he's one of these people who maybe has a couple of drinks late night and starts doing the texting and the calling.
100%.
Oh,
needy Marcus, they call him.
Katerina Siniakova. She is 36 in the rankings at the moment. 12th appearance here. Attempting to reach a third round at a Grand Slam. For the first time since Wimbledon 2021, and for Victoria Mboka, as Eleanor said, these are all kind of new experiences for the Canadian.
And it's also why a lot of her head-to-heads haven't played before on the WTA Tour.
She hasn't been on it.
She hasn't been on it to play anything.
But she did get to the third round here last year as a qualifier, lost out to Zheng, your dark horse.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think we should talk about players who were predicted to win the tournament pre-event who are no longer in it, because I think we all come out of that quite badly, really.
All right, I've still got three of my four, and you've got one left. Who's your woman?
Sabalenka.
Oh, yeah, she was through today. Good today.
Looked very comfortable today, really. But did tricky first set, came through that and looked...
On campus.
Looked quite comfortable.
30-15, fans are still being used...
Fans with fans. Everywhere you look. There are a few on court. Philippe Chatrier behind us as well. See, I like a fan.
An actual fan.
I mean, obviously, I like fans, like, but also I...
Paper fan.
I like a paper fan.
It's quite hard work, though, isn't it?
Well, I know that you have people to do this for you.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I would like, it's the two blokes who got either side of you with these like giant palm
three
trees.
Three tickets to Philippe Chatrier, two for the fan bearers. Mboku takes that. Returns serve really early, but misses and swings it wide.
Annoyingly, this time last year, Simon Cambers actually tipped Mboku as one to watch.
Did he?
Yes, he did. He did indeed. He said, take note, she's going to be really good. There's a lot of buzz about her in Canadian tennis.
No, I mean, Nathalie Tauziat, her history with bringing players through, you name a Canadian player, and she has brought them up to the point they go on tour, and then largely she's done with Naomi Boker, steps back and continues on within the federation, but she has been churning them out.
Yeah, I mean, such an experienced player, of course. Well, runner-up at Wimbledon in her heyday.
Siniakova trying to level things up at 3-all. Really high ball toss. Inside out forward from Boko. Inside in from Siniakova. Through the middle of the court from the Canadian. Who then plays the backhand machine nets.
Siniakova.
And that is a point and a game and 3-all middling part. Everything's just sort of going along, isn't it? Arnaldi sits past 4-all. Shelton Collignon 1-all second set. On serve early stages, Philippe. I'm waiting for something to spark.
We had a tremendously dramatic afternoon. So I think it's almost as if now everybody's just taken a bit of a breather. We're just pottering along a little bit.
Oh, Katie Bolter, 7-5 first set against Anastasia Potapova. That's a really good first set for Katie. Drop shot. Oh, it doesn't make it, but it was the right play. Boca is bouncing up and down, saying, come on, we got this, come on.
It has been a meteoric rise for the young Canadian, hasn't it? And all that comes with that, suddenly being in the upper echelons of the WTA Tour and playing these top-level events, you know, getting in without having to worry about it, not having to play qualifying for Grand Slams is a step in itself. That's long past behind her, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The cut-off for direct entry into Grand Slams is about 105, so... barring disaster, it's not something she's going to have to worry about for a while.
Defensive lob up from Siniakova, the forehand flattened out, cross court from Mboku, down the line, on the line from Siniakova, defensive backhand from Mboku. Backhand cross, well, really well played from Siniakova.
Well, it's interesting, the umpire interceded there just to cast aside any doubt that Mboku had of whether that Siniakova forehand was in. She didn't stop playing, the Canadian. She carried on. If you're going to question a call, you have to stop straight away. But the umpire, from his chair, actually, just put his arm straight out, palm down, to indicate that, no, don't even bother.
Don't even bother.
Let's.
Oh, the pigeon
again.
Back.
So we're on court Simon Mathieu right now, which
it's
obviously has...
Well,
it's this time in the evening. There are lots of bugs around. So if you're a pigeon, this is basically a buffet, isn't it? You've got some lights up above which are attracting the bugs, and you're just going to go around having a bit of this and a bit of that, a bit of that.
Middle of the I nearly got the head done that time.
This is why Wimbledon always had Harry the Hawk to try and stop the pigeons. There's a song there. Do you remember that cartoon?
No. What? Harry the Hawk?
No, Wacky Races had a cartoon and one of the songs was Stop the Pigeon.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And a character called Penelope Pitstop.
Oh, yes, I remember her.
Yeah. Stop the Pigeon, Stop the Pigeon.
No.
Listeners, help me, because Gigi's looking at me like I've completely lost my mind, and that is not the first time or the last time that will happen in the course of Radio Roland Garros.
Stop the pigeon.
Stop the pigeon. Stop the pigeon. Nab him. Grab him. Nope.
Stefan?
Stefan's looking as though he might call the authorities.
He's having a bad day. Swearing at people, getting stuck in lifts. It's been a tough one today for Stefan.
Well, when Stefan goes, that really is the end, isn't it?
Forehand into the forehand wing of Siniakova, who literally just sticks out a racket, tries to redirect to Mboku, but misses. That's break point Siniakova. So Mboku was 88 in the world when she won Montreal in terms of her ranking. And now she's 9 in the world.
I almost think the title that she won on the back of that is more impressive.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Do you know, because I think at your home Grand Slam, you've got the crowds behind you. She was this wonderful fairy tale story. It was sort of almost written in the stars. But when you go away from your home tournament and you have to back it up, and you're out there and you don't have the crowds with you and people don't know who you are, that takes grit and determination, and to me that's the mark of someone who's really going to make it.
And it shows you're not a one-hit wonder, because you backed it up. It was in Hong Kong at the end of the year. I mean, Siniakova, all credit to her, moving Mboku around. Got to the final of Mboku of Doha, lost to Karolina Muchova in the final. There were some question marks about the fitness of Mboku, because I mentioned that a lot of taping on the wrist, on the shoulders. But I imagine part of that is just getting used to the rigors of the tour.
It's a totally different level to the level that she'd previously been playing. And yes, at 80 in the world, you're going to be playing maybe some WTA 250s, perhaps, depending on where they are. But suddenly you go up a tier, and the level of competition, the intensity, the demands on your body, and also you have to train accordingly. So your body, even away from the tennis court, is being put through its paces. So not a surprise, really. It takes a while for young bodies to adjust to the demands of week in, week out tennis. As we know, it's a tough schedule, isn't it?
Oh, it's relentless. She's 19 years of age, Victoria Mboku. I think a very clever link-up with Wim Fissette. That was Katerina Siniakova chatting to herself, slash her box and slapping her thigh with her frame of a racket,
slightly smiling but not in a happy way.
Not in a happy way, because she had break points in this game. Oh, that backhand flew off the racket of Mboku, couldn't bring it down. Juiced. It is turning out to be the all-important seventh game.
It's amazing how often that happens. Very long first game between Katie Bolter and Anastasia Potapova. They're still at love all.
Mboku serves out wide. She redirects the short forehand in the end. Back up the line goes Siniakova. And They're both showing flashes. We just haven't had the consistency from either end of the court yet in terms of stringing more than one. What step? What are you doing?
Gigi stopped.
No,
because
I didn't shake that up.
Because she very kindly bought Stefan, very kindly, we'll review that in a moment, bought Stefan a bottle of his very favourite lemon-flavoured Perrier water. And unfortunately, she must have done a little dance with it outside.
I didn't.
Because Stefan's just opened it.
Honestly,
and fortunately, it hasn't gone. If you can still hear us, it hasn't hit any of the equipment. But it sprayed all over Stefan. He's having a bad day.
It's slanderous. I did not shake up. I even got in the lift. I braved the lift, so I didn't shake it up while running up the stairs. If I'd given it to Marcus, I would have shaken it.
For half an hour.
But not for Stefan, not over his equipment. Drop shot Siniakovic, juice. Pick up from Mboko, goes long. Pigeon flies past.
Quite hard to judge. We're obviously looking at this on a monitor. It's quite hard to judge the height of the pigeon.
It's a regular height of the pigeon.
Not how tall the pigeon is, how high it's flying. Well, should we go and make it? Do one of those things where you stand up against the cupboard door and we mark you off?
I think the pigeon's just a standard pigeon height.
No, it's a 6'4" pigeon.
It looked quite big when it flew through. Serve down the tee. This is break point for Siniakov. Oh, she's got it. An awful forehand from Mboki just fell away. So we have a break for Potapova, first game, second set. We have a break for Siniakov for 4-3 in the first. Stefanos Tsitsipas 6-5 on serve with Arnaldi. Matteo Berrettini is 3-1 up on Arthur Rinduknech. And Komisanya is 2-1 up on Dardelli.
Now,
and
in
wacky races, people are getting very excited.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you.
Nigel,
this is why I love our listeners.
Nigel said, I started singing that song before Eleanor even mentioned it. Mark says, the Stop the Pigeon was the theme from the Wacky Races spin-off. Dastardly and Muttley in their flying machines. And Vic has sent a picture of Dastardly and Muttley in their flying machines.
You remember Dastardly and Muttley?
Yeah, but not something about a pigeon.
Stop the pigeon.
No, stop
the pigeon.
Stop it.
Even Stefan's pointing animatedly at your computer. He knows.
You know this.
Yes.
Do you know? Look at that picture on the screen there. Look quickly.
Oh,
there's a pigeon close up. All 6'4" of him. How does it always with Radio Roland Garros back to pigeons?
I don't think
it doesn't
Eleanor
matter
heard
what,
that.
What we do. I heard it.
Oh, you heard it?
I heard the cooing.
I think they were the copulating ones from last year that Marcus filmed in the park across from Roland Garros.
It's the filming that just makes it slightly unsavoury.
It was weird. He never fully explained that, if we're honest. Katerina Siniakova. So let's see out this set and then we will...
Stop the pigeon.
Okay, I hope you recorded that. That needs to be played at various times. Remember, if it's said on air, Stefan's got it. Katerina Siniakova serving at 4-3. Goes back to the Mboku forehand. Goes down to the feet. Now, I think Mboku was Sophie's winner of the women's competition. Down the line goes Mboku. Backhand swung wide from Siniakova.
Winner, not dark horse. Out and out winner.
Yeah, I think out and out winner. Don't think I've made that up.
I love an X message that says Eleanor is 100% correct.
You're just not going to read the rest of the message. Or is that the whole message?
No, Stop the Pigeon was the theme to Wacky Races, Dastardly and Muttley. I think you'd already read the rest of the message, but you had admitted to read that all-important first line, which I should be copying and pasting. I think it's worthy of a repeat. I'm sure all of you can remember Muttley's laugh. Can you remember Muttley's laugh?
Oh, please remind us. I don't think it was that.
It wasn't like that.
Do you recognise that?
Yes. Stefan's fully across the wacky races.
He's just being nice now. Serve down the tee, backhand down the line, backhand swung cross court. This is Katerina Siniakova drop shotting. Then she follows it in because she knew that Mboki was going to get there. And I think she also knew she was in trouble as she started to make her way towards the net.
Cast hot.
Well, some very vocal support there on court, Simone Mathieu. It may not be full, but there are certainly a lot of people out there who are emotionally invested in this match.
Potapova's two love on Katie Bolter, and Matteo Berrettini is currently silencing the French crowds because he got a point for 4-1 over Rinderknecht, as Aboku has break back points.
15-40.
So are you sticking by Stefanos Tsitsipas?
Why is he losing now?
No,
I think
you're out. Your next favourite in the new post-Sinner world.
Zverev forehand from Siniaka drifts long. There's the breakback. Zverev does have back issues, and he also has slight psychological issues in terms of crossing that finish line. Djokovic has back issues. I saw some odds, and Zverev was first favourite. Djokovic second, and then unbelievably third, Rafa Hodar. And yes, in time I can see him winning, but he is new to this. He was cramping in the first round, he cramped in Rome, which is best of three, so I think he's fabulous, but third favourite above the likes of Casper Ruud. They're probably looking at draws and how they pan out. I don't know, from the top half it's a land of opportunity, but I think it's a heart thing. I'd love to see Tsitsipas come back and have a run, because he's had such a torrid time with injury, belief, his ranking slipping down into the 80s, for heaven's sake. What's Tsitsipas doing down at 80 in the world?
Well, he certainly has the talent, and he's always been something of a crowd favourite wherever he plays, so I think it would be good for the sport for him to rejuvenate himself in some way. But I do think experience is going to count for a lot.
Yeah.
The Djokovic obviously is, I think, the next favourite, but so much depends on how his body is holding up.
Swing and a miss from Katerina Siniaková. Not a good phase for Siniaková right now.
To me, Casper Ruud is probably right up there.
We'd have to nail down into the draw and see who they come up against when. That might have had a say on terms of the odds. Yeah, if Ruud is fully recovered from what he went through in the first round, and he had a good, quickish second round match, then possibly. I'd love to see Casper Ruud as well. What a year. He became a dad at the start of the year. If he were to win a Grand Slam, he won his first Masters last year in Madrid.
Also, the thing to bear in mind is that conditions could change quite substantially with the drop in temperatures that we're anticipating.
Yeah.
That will have a bearing on, I think, who the favourites are.
Yeah. Backhand cross court, but it is going to be hot for the rest of this week. Aboku looking to tee off next, the backhand. We're into a fifth with Dardari and Komisanya, 3 hours 24. We're into a third, Vanash and Nakashima, those split sets. Arnaldi leads in the tiebreak against Tsitsipas in the first. That might be changing my winner from the top half. It is 3-all in the second set, Collignon and Shelton. Collignon took the first set. Berrettini didn't get the double break, but he's leading 3-2 against Rinderknecht in the first set. And then we've got a handful of doubles. And Potapova 2-1 up on Katie Bolter with the break. Bolter with the first set, 7-5. And Boku now with a point for 5-4 in the first set. We'd love to hear from you this evening. We think we're going to be here for a while. So at @radio_RG on the Twitter, X, and French Open Radio, FFT.fr. You can find us both on Instagram, however you'd like to get in touch, really.
Justin says, "Hello, ladies. A pleasure listening to your coverage and simultaneously watching my son prepare for his team's semi-finals match in the state tennis tournament." Well, good luck to your son.
Yeah.
"Your witty banter and insight are helping steady my nerves." Well, I hope you have a good day, Justin, and most importantly, I hope your son enjoys it.
Double fault from Mboko at game point. She hits the side of her foot with her racket frame.
Daniel's got a really interesting question. Do you want it now? I'm building up the suspense.
Hang on. Yes, I have it now.
Daniel says, good evening. Not wanting to cause too much PTSD regarding the lift. Hypothetically, if the entire Radio Roland Garros team were stuck in an ample-sized lift together, who would fit which roles? Panicker, calming influence, practical planner, entertainer, and so forth. Fingers crossed, of course, this doesn't happen. No more errant lifts for anyone in reality.
Slice backhand cross court from Siniakova. Double-handed backhand from Mboko. Down the line from Siniakova. Lofts up the spinny forehand Siniakova. Inside in from Mboko. Forehand back down the line. And she misses Siniakova for game point. Well, are you the panicker, therefore?
I think you might assume I might be the calming influence, but I'm definitely going to be the panicker. Marcus is 100% going to be the panicker.
Simon, two panickers in our lift.
Simon will start jabbing at all the buttons because he'll think he knows how to fix it.
Yeah.
In fact, Stefan will probably know how to fix it.
Well, he didn't earlier when he was stuck in the lift.
He's learnt now. He's a fast learner.
Serve out wide. Game point for Mboko. Plays a deep ball down the line. Gets a mid-court ball. Oh, she shanks it.
I think you'll be the calming influence, probably.
Yeah.
Chris Bowers will tell us the history of the lift.
Yes, he will. He'll write a book on it. While we're in there,
Antoine will be very chilled.
Antoine will be. Do you think so? Maybe I'll ask him tomorrow how he feels about being stuck in a lift. Because we might find
he
out
he might
he's
take
a
that
panicker.
The wrong way.
he sadly can't come to our team dinner. Ace out wide.
Sophie. Sophie could be
panicker.
I don't think Sophie will be a panicker. I think she'll be the entertainer.
She'll bring some squashed brioche.
And I think she'll take it in with a kind of philosophical
she'll bring
bonhomie.
Her book and we can do one of those sort of CBeebies bedtime stories where she reads to us from her book.
I think her book is quite instructional. It's quite a small space. Well, if we start trying to demonstrate forehands, we might have some injuries.
Sure. Mboko will be delighted to have come through that for 5-4.
Courtney Walsh will have snacks.
I think Courtney will be quite calm. I don't think Simon will be calm.
Weirdly. No, Simon, I'm telling you, Simon will be jabbing the buttons because no he thinks he knows how to fix the lift.
As it's 9 o'clock on a Thursday night, all of the Radio Roland Garros team are out living their lives because no one has written on the group anything about this is when you can tell if they're listening or not. So we have two, how many panickers do we have?
Well, we know that Marcus is going to panic.
You're going to panic.
I'm going to panic because I don't like confined spaces.
Simon, is he panicking?
No, Simon's just sort of angry. And why is this lift broken?
Two panickers, one angry. Sophie's entertaining.
Sophie's
with her book, like CBeebies bedtime reading.
Sophie's all about good-natured, good-humoured bonhomie.
Courtney's bringing snacks.
Courtney's bringing snacks, and he'll be very calm and also entertaining.
Are we calm?
Au reprise.
Chris Bowers, he'll give us the history of the lift.
He'll give us the history. Antoine, calm. Stefan, were you calm earlier in the lift?
Yeah, he was.
Didn't start swearing at people.
Who's the practical planner that's going to get us out? It's got to be Stefan.
Yes. Yeah, you're going to get us out the lift. Oh no, he doesn't look utterly convinced on that front.
I think he's just horrified by the whole notion.
I think Sophie would try and get us out. I'm not sure she'd succeed, but I think she'd give it a whirl. So our plan, we're going to see out this set and then we are going to take you elsewhere. We will see where the story is at that point. Matteo Arnaldi's taken the first set of Stefanos Tsitsipas, so that's going well.
Now, don't call me the kiss of death.
I'll tell you.
No sooner had you tipped Tsitsipas for the title.
And our friend and colleague Naomi Cavalier tipped him. Well, she tipped him to get to the final. 3 points from the set is Victoria Mboku. Matteo Berrettini, 4-2. Might have to dip into Philippe Chatrier and see if French crowd are trying to help their man.
Looks like we're going 3 over on court 13. Katie Bolter, having won the first set 7-5 against Anastasia Potapova, is now 1-4 down in the second set.
Yeah, we could possibly do some of that. Deciding set. Backhand from Mboku through the middle of the court. One swept first court.
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time. Broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
Deep from Siniakova. Siniakova, forehand back to the forehand of Mboka. They're just clubbing these balls right now. Redirection from Siniakova. Comes on the short ball, cushions it. Have no fear when she comes forward towards the net.
Cancer.
Yeah, I think we planned out our lift quite well. We'll do that. When we have our team dinner, we'll run through that as well and see if everyone agrees.
That's a good question, because I'm sure they'll all think they're the calm.
Well, we're two down for the team dinner, but we'll assign them roles in their absence.
Well, you could give Chris, who's going to be absent, the casting vote, couldn't you?
On his or everyone?
On everyone's.
And I will ask Antoine tomorrow, I'm on with him, what he would be in the lift. He might be quite confused by my question, but...
It's possible, but nothing new there.
The off backhand from Mboka, the slice forehand from Siniaka. Backhand down the line from Mboka. That was a great shot from the Canadian. Can she back it up? She goes down the other wing. She's hugging this baseline. Backhand cross court, a lot lower over there. She go down the line. Oh, she's missed it. Mboka's missed it.
Time counts.
I mean, that's a lot of strapping on the left leg knee area of Siniakova.
Yes, it's above and below the knee with some very thin gauze over the knee itself. And it must be quite constraining, actually, to move in. But as you say, she's been wearing it for the last few weeks, so she must be used to it.
Backhand lofted up by Mboka. Mboka then flattens out the backhand cross court. Slice backhand down the line from Siniakova. Cross court forehand from Mboka. Slice forehand up the line from Siniakova. Siniakova's just mixing it up. Then she goes drop shot. Mboka read it, gets to it. The court is open. Beautiful play. Really showing and adding some variety.
Well, that's what we know about Siniakova. She's got all the tools. She moves well. She's smart. She's a very expressive tennis player in every possible way. She'll chatter away to herself, but she also expresses herself through some great shot making, as you said, that ability to improvise.
Game points for 5-5. Serve down the tee. The backhand is long. And Mboka had love 15, had the opportunity to try and dig deep, close it out, but it's 5-5 as Anastasia Potapova is now 5-1. In the second set. We might end up having to go to court 6 because they are just starting a fifth set.
Komasana against Dardieri. That's been 3 hours and 33 minutes, which actually, by the standards of a lot of the matches we've seen, isn't that long.
Pretty quick.
Racing through.
Yeah. I'm sure they don't feel like they're racing through.
No.
We are 52 Kansas minutes in, 5 games all. Mboka with the Wilson kit on. Is that sort of a grey top and a dark skirt?
Yes, it's almost like a sort of business-like office motif.
Yeah.
The top reminds me of pinstripes and the dark skirt underneath. And she's also uses, as you'd expect, a Wilson racket. It's... I rather like that green.
Yeah, that was
You don't see many green rackets.
Wilson Blade, isn't it?
Tonsil.
Sabalenka. It was made for Sabalenka. Did a big advertising campaign around it. But I do like the green. It really stands out. Katie Bolter is love 41-5. Potapova looking to speed them into a decider. Look across from Mboka. Serves deep. Snap back on the forehand. Siniakova, the backhand, swings it deep. Pick up on the backhand side. Siniakova slamming that ball and nailing it onto the line. She looked quite pleased with it.
I think there was a slightly sarcastic remark back to her team. She was sort of chuckling as she said it. I think that strikes me about Siniakova is just the speed that she generates off each shot.
Yeah.
Very whippy.
30-15, Mboka serve out wide. The backhand to the feet, the backhand down the line for Mboka. Forehand back. Ooh, clips top of it from Siniakova. Ah! Apology, and actually a verbal apology.
Yes, a very audible sorry from Siniakova.
Very good impression. It sounded like her.
She gets me to do all her sorries.
Does she? 30 all.
Wait, please.
Oh, not pigeons.
Oh,
right.
Somebody not giving a ball back.
Oh, I think he dropped it.
Ah.
Yeah. So it's 9:05 on a Thursday evening, 54 minutes on the clock. Mboku.
Alert. Premier service.
Will then clip the net. Arta Rinnish is in a spot of bother once again against Matteo Berrettini. Katie Bolt has now got game point from Love 40. It's an important point now. 5-all, 30-all, second serve from the ninth seed. And it's a double fault, and it's break points in Yakova.
The heavy sigh from Mboko there.
Room for set said, come on, it's all right. 26 unforced errors in this first set from Mboku.
Think about it, this might be the first time since that big breakthrough in Montreal that she's gone into a tournament with significant points to defend.
Definitely not with Strap. Slice on the backhand side, the drop shot. Oh, she doesn't make it. She does not make it. She goes to the drop shot, and very shortly, Katerina Siniakova, if she holds her serve, will be a set up on the ninth seed Victoria Mboku. 6-5.
And there's a pressure in that, having won matches here last year, and that's something that Mboko's really going to have to deal with over the next few weeks, especially, I think, going in back to Canada, back to the scene of where she had that fairy tale win last summer. You know, and that's one of the things that these young players have to learn to deal with when you've had a rise. This ranking system, this rolling 12-month ranking system, 52-week ranking system, really punishes inconsistency. If you don't match what you did in the previous corresponding week last year, you will drop. Your ranking will drop. You talked about Zhang Qinwen, you know, loses here and is out of the top 100. There's a significant effect on her tennis lifestyle in terms of where she can play, where she can get into. It can affect sponsorship deals. It can affect all sorts of things. It's a real body blow when that happens, and players go into these tournaments often carrying that pressure silently, and I think it's not something that's necessarily talked about among fans so much, but certainly it's something that players and people within tennis talk about all the time.
Absolutely constant pressure. Right, Katerina Siniakova serving for the first set. Anastasia Potapova is serving for the second set. Missed first serve.
Deborah, Emmylou and Elizabeth all remember Wacky Races and Stop the Pigeon.
I remember Wacky Races, but I don't remember Stop the Pigeon.
0-6.
6-5, love 15.
Red Sox Devil has come up with quite the stat. Not one I foresaw having to read out on Radio Roland Garros.
You don't have to read it out.
Oh, I think I do. Lady E, I couldn't resist looking up the world record. Some poor old lady in Cyprus was stuck in a lift for 6 days in 1987. That would take you lot through to the semi-finals.
6 days? Do you think they could get food and water to her? Backhand down the line. That's a bruiser from Siniakova. Should finish it off. Mboko reads it. She goes high. Siniakova smashes through the middle of the court. Mboko gets the ball back, but it's long. Great defence from Katerina Siniakova. 3 points from the set.
Kessa.
I'm still horrified by the idea of us all being stuck in a lift together for 6 days. I mean, Joshua would be happy, wouldn't he?
Who would yell at who first, do you think? Who would snap at who first?
I can't think of the right answer that won't get me in trouble with somebody.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously not you, Empress.
Okay.
Not Stefan. Would you? Who would make you crack after 6 days?
Any of you?
All of us?
All of you?
The collective?
I actually think it would be the situation. Like I said, I'm not good in confined spaces, so I think the whole situation is a...
is a stressor for me.
That's why we have a palatial apartment with
huge,
our own wings.
Huge. You using your Segway to get from one side to the other.
I have to, I sort of, we have walkie-talkies to speak to each other, it's so far. Katerina has brought up set point, so this is really interesting. After 59 minutes of play, the unseeded Katerina, I think that could be her dad, is just loving it. He's enjoying how his daughter's playing. She keeps having a little smile with him. It's all going nicely.
Sort of chuckling away to each other, aren't they?
Really chuckling away. She's probably thinking, how am I doing this on one leg? Set points. Such a high ball toss, Semiyakova.
Well, that's the advantage of these conditions where there's no wind. She must struggle in places like Miami and Indian Wells where it can get very windy on court.
Excellent return from Iboka. Hits double-hander backhand down the line. Forehand through the middle from Siniakova. That's shanked from Iboka. And there's the first set for Katerina Siniakova. We will keep an eye and return. I think we should go and see if Matteo Berrettini can close out the match. And then I think we'll go to court 13 and see Katie Bolter. So if we go to Philippe Chatrier, our night session match where poor old French crowd going to try and get behind their man. Arthur Rinnick-Nesh, 22nd seed. He's 30 years of age now. 25 in the world. His highest he's ever been is 24. And that was earlier this month. So he's at his peak in terms of singles. And Matteo Berrettini hammers that ball back, but the court is open. Cross court for the winner. Rinnick-Nesh in his lilac shirt pummels it away for 15 love.
Is the highest ranked Frenchman left in the draw, which I think partly explains why he finds himself on court Philippe Chatrier this evening against the former Wimbledon runner-up in Berrettini.
Thomas Enqvist still working with Matteo Berrettini? They got together earlier this year. I asked that because he's not listed as one of his coaches on the notes, but they did start working together in April of this year and still talking about him in early May. Rinnick-Nesh misses down the tee. He's serving towards the presidential box.
And Berrettini is a player who's sort of in somewhat of a renaissance.
Yeah. 105 in the world, but he's just had horrible rankings, horrible injuries and horrible luck with the rankings. And he nets the tally. Has been as high as 6 in the world, but that was back in 2022.
40-0.
Such a shame. He's had some awful injuries. And even the win for Rinnick-Nesh over Berrettini at the US Open in 2023, that was via retirement.
Yes, all sorts of problems. Certainly his pomp was at 2021, 2022 period, particularly on grass, which was certainly his best surface. As I mentioned, he was runner-up at Wimbledon in 2021. two-time winner of the Queen's tournament as well.
Got a big old game. They both have. So we'll stay with this to see if Berrettini can close it out. Potapova has a final opportunity. Oh, the trainer is out for Katerina Siniakova. I think she's giving her some tablets. But she seems very happy. She's still doing. She's pumping. What is she doing? Anyone know what she's doing?
It's very hard to see on the monitor. She's, maybe it was some kind of gel that she was trying to get out of the tube. You know how you squeeze your toothpaste tube and you're trying to roll it up?
It does look a little, dad's in the bag. Maybe he's there. Oh no, he's just getting a drink. Fine.
It still seems quite perky.
Well, she seemed very perky when the trainer came out.
Still smiling away. Never seen a player get the trainer out in those circumstances and look quite so cheerful about it.
Look very cheerful. And she's, what's happening now? I think she might need the trainer out to sort out. I mean, because it's, oh, it was for a plaster for her right, front of her right thigh.
So not the leg that's got the strapping on, the other leg. She obviously had a bit of tape that we couldn't see that was under her skirt.
God,
she's removed.
She is taped up. Right, okay, Matteo Berrettini. He's trying to serve out for the first set. 5-4 against Artur Rindiknes. Potapova now 5-4, 30-15. Berrettini has a huge game with a huge serve and he's 3 points away.
15.
You wouldn't necessarily see him as a clay court player, Berrettini, but because he's had such fantastic results on grass. He's been to the second week once here.
Lovely serving from him. It drops over. He pats it away into the corner. A little fist bump up towards the box. Not sure this is what the French crowd signed up for, but the Italian is 2 points away. He's won 6 and lost 7 on the clay this year. Rindiknes has won 6 and lost 4. They've got 2021, the quarter-final here for Berrettini. And Rindiknes has never been to the third round here. This is his second round appearance.
The win-loss record is interesting because one is 11-1, 11 lost.
Yeah.
And one is 7-1, 7 lost.
Set points, there we go. Look at that, that's done. Now we do want to go to Katie Bolter, but that set has just finished, so I was wondering if you think I think either court 6 because Comesaña is serving at 3-2 with a break, or court 14, or maybe Stefan will make the decision. What do you think?
Just looking what's happening on court 14.
Arnaldi is 3
Arnaldi,
up,
yes,
on Tsitsipas, who's no longer going to win the French Open.
You've decided that?
Yeah. It's not looking good, is it?
Is your ever lighter horse?
He's not in the race.
Well, he's still in the race as of now. He's just not somebody you would necessarily back to be in the race in an hour's time.
Enjoy the music that was coming from Philippe Chatrier.
And Aldi winning the first set on a tie break. And now 3 love up with Tsitsipas serving.
Standing a long way back, Matteo Arnaldi. So, so far back the overhead. Easily dealt with by the Greek.
Court 14 has been the place to be today. Great match between Hercatch and Tiafoe. And it was very, very full when I walked past it. Great atmosphere out there.
Yeah, same. When I came in, there was a lady politely telling people that there was no more room. And the people were like, there has to be. And she was like, no, you can see. There is no more room. And Tsitsipas holds to love. This is the second meeting between the two. They met here 2024, round of 16. Tsitsipas came through in 4 sets.
I mean, I love court Simone Mathieu, but I wonder if court 14 is going to be a bit like court 18 at Wimbledon, you know, that where it's a sort of, it's another almost show court where really good matches and it are on, but it's still very intimate.
Yeah.
So you get that outside court vibe, but you get the marquee matches.
And you get a great atmosphere because it's not ticketed, so they could just head on out there. And you'll always get a crowd, whereas court Simone Mathieu, the lower bit is ticketed, the upper bit isn't. And that's why we're seeing really no one there this time of night. Whereas here, everyone is on the grounds going, quick, get there. And I imagine when we go to court 13 for Bolter, that will be packed as well. Serve down the tee. Arnaldi spins it on a lovely angle. Oh, that was a cracker from Tsitsipas. Heavy ball down the line for the winner.
0-15.
And these outside courts, they're bench seating for the most part.
Yeah.
So you can all sort of squidge up in order to be able to fit the maximum number of people in. You've got a few people sitting on the steps, even in the corner of the court. Tsitsipas is a big name.
Yeah.
I mean, Arnaldi obviously is also very accomplished. But in terms of fame, if you're strolling around Roland Garros and you want to see who's playing, go, ooh, Tsitsipas.
Grand Slam finalist. Come on now.
Finalist here. Just a handful of points away from being a Roland Garros champion.
Oh, don't. 2 sets up.
Who does that? Who goes 2 sets up in a Roland Garros final and doesn't win it?
Who goes 2 sets and 5-1 up in a second round match? Jannichsen has still never won a match over 3 hours 48.
It is seemingly something...
An anomaly.
It's an anomaly, but it's also an Achilles heel, isn't it?
Oh, it's like his kryptonite. His kryptonite are conditions and heat.
He is such a phenomenal player and so, so successful.
Arnaldi with his backhand goes cross-court, drops it a bit short, inside-out forehand from Tsitsipas. He's wearing a dark blue top and a white short. Tsitsipas taking control at this point, should finish it off, and he does. Whips the forehand cross-court for the winner.
I mean, the question is, I suppose, for Jannik Sinner, while we're talking about it, is what happens next for him? How does he take that, what seems to be a fragility, and turn it into a strength? I've no doubt that his team are doing endless tests and that
you have to look at your team in terms of why do I keep... There's someone in charge of fitness, someone in charge of nutrition. I'm not saying he's not fit. Someone in charge of nutrition, someone in charge of this. Do you have to... Their job is to get this racehorse in prime condition and send him out there. And so at what point... And he's very loyal to the people he has around him. And I'm not saying get rid of everyone, but at what point do you have to look at your team and think, well, someone's letting the side down here, or is it just a fragility of Jannik Sinner? But then surely, like most things, you can overcome them. Why has he not? Why does this keep happening?
It's definitely not... It's not a lack of conditioning. You know, he is very fit. He is working extremely hard. You know, this is not for want of effort. And he's getting access to... You know, his trainer, Jez Green, is, his trainer, rather, whose name escapes me. It's not Jez Green, is it?
That's Zverev.
Yes. But, you know, we are talking, he has access to some incredible expertise. And we know that he works hard. So it's not a question of, you know, he's somebody who has lifestyle issues or who's not giving it 100%. There is just something that his body can't cope with about warm weather and these kind of conditions and those long matches. I don't think it's so much about sort of clearing the team out, but I do think it's probably about tapping into other expertise, whether that's medical expertise. You know, sometimes with players like a Coco Gauff gets a biomechanics specialist in to specifically hone in on issues around her serve. Now, you can imagine that the Sinner camp would look at bringing in expertise, perhaps whether it's a doctor or somebody with highly specialised knowledge in building endurance.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't feel like there is an issue. I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes players, people don't think there's an issue. Eventually they do.
I think he must know there's an issue.
He must do by now.
But
he said today in his press conference, it's nothing to do with the conditions. I woke up and I wasn't feeling right. But then he was leading by 2 sets and 5-1. So he must have been feeling all right to get to 2 sets and 5-1. So therefore, the conditions had to have played a part.
It's confusing, isn't it? I mean, I also think sometimes it's about that some players cope better with not feeling great than others do. You know, some players will, no matter what they're feeling, will battle through. You know, Cam Norrie retired in the first round here. Hadn't retired since 2014
he's
from a match.
He's got a rib problem. He came in with a rib problem.
Yes, but my point is that he must have had matches since 2014 where he didn't feel great, woke up not feeling great, and still went out and played and won. He's resilient. And maybe it's about building resilience in Sinner to go, I'm not feeling brilliant, but I'm just going to power through. And I'm not saying one thing in isolation. I think a combination of things are probably required.
And I think it's interesting, and I'm not saying if we can add to that, Flavio Panetta in Rome, when he had a difficult time, we've come over to court number 6, because this is where the noise is coming from, suggested that what he was dealing with there could be a panic attack or anxiety. The weight of the pressure, the expectation. I mean, he is dealing with a ridiculous amount. And is there an element of that in it? I could be completely wrong.
I think it could be a combination of things, couldn't it? It could be that that's how he expresses his stress. It could be that that's, he needs to get a little bit of extra advice about how he hydrates himself, the balance of electrolytes he takes. You know, it could be something diet related. Remember Djokovic at the start of his career used to get breathing problems, and he used to get a lot of different issues that were seemingly inexplicable. He changed his diet, he went gluten-free, he did a lot of research into what he was putting into his body, and that was a radical improvement in his performances and his endurance.
Now, I've come to court six, because this is where the noises come from. Loads of lies tennis going on. Darderi serving 2-4 down, game points. There we go. That gets almost like half of the stadium up. Got a bit of a strut around him, Luciano Darderi. But we are now where 3 hours 56. And Francisco Comesaña has the advantage. Darderi is the 14th seed. Fans are enjoying it. It's getting dark now. Of course it's getting dark now. What is it? 25 past 9. Anastasia Potapova's got an early break on Katie Bolton. We will get you there. I love the Argentinian fans.
They're great, aren't they?
And there's a lady with an Italian flair. She needs to give it a bit more of a waft.
Well, in the face of that sort of singing, she's just kind of slightly, half-heartedly lifting the Italian flag up.
Almost like she wasn't. Otherwise, it felt like she was kind of doing it in time to the Argentinian fans. So this is a second meeting between the two. Francisco Comesaña won their meeting last year in Cincy because Darderi retired. They did have another one, Challenge 11 in 2022. Comesaña came through that on the clay. Night is falling, floodlights are on. Francisco Comesaña has like a neon yellow top with grey on the shoulders, white headband. Really stands out in these lights, doesn't he?
He could be out there directing traffic, couldn't he, dressed like that.
Whereas Darderi is a bit like Stefan has modelled himself on Darderi with a sort of green forest green camouflage.
Like a vision in khaki,
forest green, isn't he? Inside in, Comesaña, great depth from the Argentinian. Little fist bump from him. Little swagger. Little shake of the head from Darderi.
Darderi's certainly got a little bit of swagger about him, hasn't he?
He had the unfortunate incident. Came up against Yannick Sinner in Rome where he was wearing these big wraparound sunglasses. And I did see Vavasori and Bellelli wear them in their final, so I'm sure it was a promotion or you wear these. But I think he was so nervous and so excited being on Centrale with that he walked straight past the mascot. Who had their hand ready to go, and he just didn't see them and walked straight out with the sunglasses on.
That poor little mascot.
And they just suddenly started running behind him. Drop shot from Comesaña is too good. And he did actually later that day, I think when it was pointed out to him, because he had no clue, put a message on Instagram to apologise. Because the bullets looked left and right and then ran after him across the net.
It was so confusing because, you know, these mascots, and we have them here, we've had some this evening, they get briefed, you know, this is what's going to happen, someone's going to, and if you're, you know, we're talking about little children here, sometimes very little.
And in Rome, they had them at the entrance to centre court, and one would take one's hand, it's like a relay, and one would take the other. Because I think there was one when a player came out to take the left hand, and the child was like, no, it's not me, I'm with Sinner. And then waited for him to come out.
Don't you take my hand.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the big man to come out.
I mean, that's sort of heartbreaking, isn't it? He must have felt awful.
I say at the time, I don't think he knew anything about it, but I think after the match, and he got wiped by Sinner, I think after the match, he was told, and I think he must have felt awful, but the sunglasses, it wasn't even light, there's no sun, and these big... You can find it on social media. It's, he just sort of, he walks sort of chest out. He's very chest out, sort of. And he just strode through with his bags. And there was this little child. Sort of, here's my hand. Take it. 30-15, Comesaña. It's so far back, Darderi. Sticks one hand out to the backhand. The overhead for Comesaña is too good. Game points for 5-3. This is in the top half of the draw that we're now calling the Land of Opportunity.
The sinner-free land of opportunity.
Like, when the draw is made, everyone wants to be in the bottom half. Now everyone wants to be in the top half. Because both bottom half still got Zverev, Rude and Djokovic lurking.
Very bottom heavy.
It is now. Who are they cheering for?
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball by ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
Could be
Arnel.
Susan Longland, Collignon Shelton, the
possibly.
Belgium's not far. He's now two sets up, and that would be huge. I know we're talking about shocks. If Shelton gets knocked out by Raphael Collignon, then Collignon's in the mix to win the French Open. It's the top half, Eleanor.
Anything can happen.
Anyone is in the mix. Tsitsipas is back on serve. Komisanyi has a game point for 5-3. Going to go inside in. Yes, he does. Darderi is so far back. Swings it cross court. Drops it short. Lovely angle by Komisanyi. Down the line from Darderi. He's very balletic, isn't he, Komisanyi? Just leaps up into the air. He's got a short high ball. He's going to smash it. And he's going to take the point, take the game. He's got a gold hoop earring in his left ear. White headband. Firm fist pump towards his people. His box at the end of the court. There's a gentleman with his foot on the ledge, waving, cheering. He's a game away from the third round. I hope it's polite what they're singing.
I do too, but I'm very much enjoying listening to it.
Mayank says, I just hope Surindlo, I imagine you're talking the lefty, isn't out next round because he's physically and mentally spent now that he's a giant killer. I mean, he really should have been knocked out in this round. I mean, if we're honest, even he said so at the end. So I got very, very lucky.
I really like that he said that. I think he was incredibly respectful towards Sinner. And to say, you know, I got lucky when you've just beaten the world number one, because Sinner didn't retire.
He was two sets and 1-5 down.
I know.
He was honest.
He was honest.
His brother, Francisco, who's out on court, they asked him in his press conference, he said, I kept wondering where my family were because they hadn't turned up, like the box was empty. And then I heard that he was winning 2-1. And then I was like, stop it, I'm trying to play a match here, focus. And then I heard he had won and I was 3-1 up in the fourth. And I thought, I cannot lose now, my brother's won. So it was a distraction at first, but then it ended up motivating him to come through.
What a day for the family, though.
I love that he kept looking up at the book. He said, I was getting angry because the family weren't there.
What are they doing?
Should have been there. I want to know where this noise is coming from. I'm assuming Susan Longland in terms of where this court is, because we're court six.
Christy says, love Radio Roland Garros. Thank you for every minute. Didn't Gigi feel a little stuck in the elevator for all the hours she was commentating during the Isner-Mahut match at Wimbledon? Wasn't she confined to the crow's nest for much of it?
No, because it was quarter 18, so I was on the broadcast roof, but I did have, it was about 12 thick behind me, so I was, it was like being, if you've ever been at the front row of a concert, you're up against the kind of barrier, and everyone's surging behind you. That was more the feeling on that occasion, and I really needed the toilet.
I think everybody involved in that match really needed the toilet.
9.5 hours on the second day. Inside in from Darderi. It's 30-15. He's looking to hold serve. Stefan, we need to find out where this cheering is coming from, because that is where we need to base ourselves. Inside out forehand. I'm thinking it's... Where am I thinking it is?
Somewhere. Just to finish Chrissy's email, she says,
sorry.
The Wacky Races, a perennial favourite. Lady E, I'll have to think about your role, but Gigi could probably be Penelope Pitstop. She could.
In the lift? No.
No, I think in the Wacky Races. We've moved on from the lift.
Is that a good thing?
I would take Penelope Pitstop. I'm probably Muttley in this scenario.
30 all, Darderi in a tricky position now, because if he loses his next point, he will be match point down after 4 hours. Where is that coming from? Forehand down the line, Stefan is investigating. Backhand cross court from Komisanyi. The slice down the line, the forehand whip cross court. Oh, and it's loose. It's So I think you might be going to court Susan Longland after this because we believe that is where the noise is coming from. I'm afraid on Philippe Chatrier. Arthur Rindiknesh is now setting a breakdown.
Mayank says, I wonder what dinner at the Cerundolo table is like tonight. Mum and Dad could be forgiven for giving Juan Manuel, another, more accolades and a bigger portion of the dish on his plate after the day he's had.
Darderi has held serve. He's now lifting his racket to the Italian fans, saying, can you please help me?